Opal, O-P-A-L, Skilling. And I work for the Office and Technical Employees Union, Local 15.
Okay. Can you tell me a bit about your family background, how you became interested in unionism?
My father was a homesteader in, I'm going to read this, in southern Saskatchewan during the early 1900s. My family name is Bannert, B-A-N-N-E-R-T. And my dad was active as a school board trustee, and in 1933, the CCF. So I have a strong socialist background.
Was trade unionism discussed in your family?
It was a farm community, and it was more co-op related, like prairie farmers, rather than being in an industrial environment in a city, like we wrote on the prairie. And our area was actually not union related in any aspect other than co-op, like during the harvest and things like that, they shared the combines and they shared the thrashing machines and things like that.
Right. And how did that interest in socialism grow into an interest in unionism?
Well, my older brothers were members of various unions when I was growing up and worked in the mining in the mid-40s, and my brother, one of my brothers, was quite active in the BCGEU up in the Nelson area. I joined my first union in September 1950, the Theater Employees Union, Local B-72, but was keenly interested in probably politics, having had the early association with the CCF. I was the first female in the family, and my dad took me to the school board meetings and the CCF meetings, and my early recollection was attending a meeting in Drummer, Saskatchewan, where M.J. Colwell spoke to us, and of course that was the formation year of the CCF. And he told us that every child in Saskatchewan should have an apple to eat every day. And I thought that was just great, because the only time we ever saw apples was probably a boxcar of fruit would come in around Christmas time, and it was given out to those people who were on relief. And so we were lucky if we saw apples once a year, not every day. And I thought, boy, if somebody can provide you an apple every day, that's what I was most interested in. And I never joined the party. Of course, I was only 9 years old when the CCF was formed, but I was always, when I reached voting age and that, I was always voted for the CCF.
What job were you employed in when you became a union member for the first time?
Well, my first job was with Odeon Theatres from 1950 to 1960. And we were the Theater Employees Union, I mentioned earlier, Local B-72. And our union meetings were on Sunday. And all the cashiers and usherettes would get together on Sunday. And it was like almost like Hollywood, you know, where you'd get dressed up with your hats and furs and go to a Sunday do. Rather than church, it was to our own union meeting. And I was the office steward. And that was my first union.
How did you become an office steward?
Just by taking positions and getting elected to the position. Mostly saying that we should be paid as much as the doormen. We were paid 85 cents an hour, and the doorman was paid $1.
And exactly what was your job?
You were cashier.
Cashier. Okay. And Can you tell me a bit of the history of how that union organized in the community?
They didn't. It was all organized before. I don't know anything about the pre-local B72. A B-local is part of the projectionist union. The projectionists would have been formed the union, and then they set up a B-local for the other people.
Were the other people mostly women?
Yes.
And did that B-local have its full autonomy, or was it part of the projectionists?
Oh, no, we had our full autonomy. As you can see in the pictures, they're mostly all women.
Were you successful in winning equal pay for the dormant?
No, there was always the 15 cents differential.
After being a steward, did you take any other positions in that union?
No, it wasn't. Local B72 was not active. It was strictly, within the theater that you worked in, and most of them were quite small. I worked at the Circle out on Kingsway, which was not a lot of people, but we were keenly concerned with our union.
What was the next job that you moved to?
Well, during that period, from 1950 to 1960, in 1955, I went to work in the Bank of Montreal, because you could work in the bank in the daytime and work at the show at night. My Odeon Theater was all night work. And on a stat holiday, you would have a bank holiday, but you worked in the theater, because the stat holidays were morning matinees and afternoon matinees and evening matinees. So I think my comment here is I was probably more interested in politics at that period in my life than in trade unionism. In other words, politics was my first knowledgeable interest in the plight of the working people.
The banks, was there a union or an attempt for a union?
Well, in 1958-1959, we attempted to form a union. I worked right over here at the Bank of Montreal and Broadway and Main. And you can have this. This is our international union. This had many, many runs. This was organizing at the Bank of Montreal. And where I worked from 55 to 60, like for 5 years, we attempted to form a union. I had, there was a staff of 35, and we were about 15, 16 of us were signed up into the union. And the managers came over from Broadway and Granville. We attended a meeting, and we were told that, what all could happen if we formed the union. We could be fired, and all of these things could happen. And I was taking notes, and I was told that, number one, I couldn't join the union because I was a supervisor. I was part of management team. And number two, I shouldn't be taking notes during the meeting.
Management.
Oh, yes. And so I filed an unfair labor charge at that time. Alex McDonald was my legal advisor. And I left the bank in the middle of it because it was getting too, it was really getting pretty hot because number one, they took away my door key. And number two, couldn't be responsible for my tellers anymore. They wouldn't let me. They changed the safety deposit, the combination to the safe, which I used to open up the safe every morning. And I wasn't responsible enough to do that anymore. And all of these things started happening. And then I was not allowed to talk to my tellers. So we would go around. active then in the CCF, and my colleagues and I, we used to go around and say, "Hi, comrade," and all kinds of funny things like that. But it was quite a trying time. And if I hadn't known what was going on, of course I would have been interested, but I wasn't naive. I knew why they were doing this. But I quit and left and went to work for the IWA.
Just to move back a bit, when you became interested in organizing at the bank, did the people who worked at the bank initiate the organizing campaign, or did the union contact you?
The union contacted me. The Bill Lowe, then he was the international representative of our union, this union, and he came to my home and told me all about this new union, and I became the secretary treasurer of the Bank Employees Association, Local 387. We had meetings, and they provided me with cards, and we were doing card signing.
Could you describe how you would approach someone to interest them in the union, when you wanted to?
Well, we had lots of meetings. We had coffee breaks and noon hour meetings. And the part that bothered me the most was these new young fellows would come in and...
I was just asking how you would approach them and actually ask them to join.
Yes, the part that was really bothering us was the fact that they were hiring these young fellows. And we would train them. And they would end up at top counter. And their wages would be more than ours. I mean, they were hiring these fellows in at higher wages than what the women that had been there years. And I didn't think that was fair.
The classic bank worker's position, isn't it?
Still is.
Right. So that was something that made people want to join a union, was it?
Not so much in the banks. You could get them interested for a little while. After I left, the girls would say, "Come on, Opal, it's time for another union scare." Because every time there was a union scare, we would get a raise. I got $450 in the first year after the union campaign. I told them it was time that they stopped depending on the labor movement for scares, that we'd done all the scaring we could do, that they had to sign the cards. We couldn't sign the cards for them. But...
Who were the five women who decided that they wanted to join a union? Is there anything about them that wasn't common, for example, an interest in the CCF?
Most of us were CCF. Most of us.
And did you find that...
There was 15 of us.
Who joined the union?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people worked there?
35.
So you almost had a majority.
Then they did the test case, Sarah, where... up in Kitimat, and then we were not allowed to organize branch by branch. That's when they made the decision that it had to be all or none. That was in 59. I don't know if that decision came out in late 59 or early 60, about that period.
How many branches had been organized by then?
None. Even our branch was not. Because we put in the application in Kitimat, and the ruling came down, which was the Canada Labor Relations Board, that one branch was not an appropriate unit. So none were organized. But there was a lot of raises giving and a lot of organizing talks. And I don't know how many people may have lost their jobs during that period, because I was only associated with that one branch. And the meetings I went to, there were other people from other branches, but nothing really material. It didn't really get off the ground at that time,
right,
as you know.
And the same situation would then happen again 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, So then you went to work for the IWA. And can you describe what job you did there?
I was switchboard receptionist. And the woodworker hall was just opened then on Commercial Drive. And I worked there for 2 years. And of course, at that time then I joined this local, the office. It was called the Office Employees International Union, Local 15.